Sunday, Chaf Gimel Shvat, Rabbi David Roberts.
Good morning. Ve'ile ha-mishpotim ha-shetosim lifneihem. Matan Torah, as you know, is divided into two parts. One of my favorite trick questions is, where do you find Nasa v'Nishma? Most Talmidim usually answer immediately, sort of instinctively, they answer Yisrael. Of course, it's in, thank you, I knew that you know. I wouldn't have expected anything less. That, but of course it's in Mishpatim. A Halodovahu, it's not the time now maybe to discuss why Matan Torah is ogetailed, it's divided into two parts, but it is, of course, you have Yisrael, you have Nasa, then you have the Divrei HaBris, you have the Bris, and then you have the Mishpatim, and it is the Mishpatim which are a prelude almost to the second part, to the second Chelek, which is where there's the Krisas Bris, with the Hagam, the Luchas, also Krisas Bris, as the Bris Karov points out. But it's Davka Mishpatim, which come in the middle. Ve'ela Mishpatim, Maharishenim Misinai, Afeinu Misinai, as Rashi says. The chiddush is that these are also Misinai, that Mishpatim are Misinai. Rashi brings, famously, this dialogue between the Rabbeinu Shleilam and Moshe. Loi sale al datcha, loi ma eshna lehem aperek v'alocha, shnai moi shleisha pomim ad sheteisdura b'fiyem k'mishnosa, v'eini matri chatzmi lehavinam tame adover peirushai. Moshe Rabbeinu had a hava mina, it seems, to communicate to Klal Yisrael Mishpatim, but the psokim, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is us, this is mutter, chayev, potter. And the Rebbein Shleilam says, no, lokachnem ashetosim lifneim keshulchan ha'aruch umuchan lecho lifnei ha'adam. They need to understand, they also need to know the svaros and the tamei hadova. What was the din of dvarim over here? There's many different approaches to this. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to just put it before them, and without the explanations, without the understanding, without the svaras, and the Rabbeinu Shlomo comes and says, no, it has to be, you should do it with the svaras. What was Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the havam in it? What was going on here? So really, in terms of the whole concept of Mishpatim, and we also learn, of course, from this pasuk, no coincidence, that we learn from this pasuk famously, Ashetosim lifneihem, there's an issa to go when two yidden have a dispute. It is osa to go to Arkois. It is osa to go to the Goyisha court, even if they paskin exactly the same. Even if they bind themselves entirely down to the tiniest little detail to paskin like the Shach and the Taz, the Ktois, the Zivas, whatever it is, you're still osa to go. What is the understanding of Mishpatim? If you look in the Torah in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, there is discussion as to the function of Mishpatim as, at some level, maintaining equity in society. Fairness. And there definitely does seem to be that is some aspect of Mishpatim. However, the Ran in Droshus, the Maral, and others seem to take the view that that's not the primary purpose. That is certainly not the primary purpose. The Tachlis of Mishpat, the Tachlis of Mishpat, says the Maral, is so that when a person undergoes Mishpat, he is then Noki, and he arrives in Gan Eden, having discharged his duty, his obligation, and he's no longer subject to dinim in Shamayim. It's dinei ha-Torah, which is the chokhma eloki, which is done down here, so that when you get to Gan Eden, it's done. Whether or not it is equitable in the minds of people, whether it's not, it's logical, is irrelevant. It's dinei, it's the seichel, it's the structure of seichel of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And that is the tachlis. The tachlis is that we do mishpat down here, so that when you get to Shamayim, there's no more mishpat, there's no more din on this person. Rav Huttner says, he points out that there is, he asks it in the way, really in the way of a question. You know, we say mahu af ata. We valachto bidrachav. We have to imitate and emulate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Mahu geimul chasodim af ata geimul chasodim. Mahu kever meisim af ata kever meisim. Mahu af ata. An obvious question. Why don't we say Mahu Manishes Arashoim? Afato Manishes Arashoim. Just like the Rabbeinu Shalom exacts retribution and revenge on Rashoim, well, let's get in on the act. We can do it Lishma. We can turn it into a mitzvah. Some people need no bidding. But we could turn it into, we could even turn it into a mitzvah. We could do it Lishma. What's, why Takanot? Why is it that all of those examples that the Gemara gives are all examples of Chesed? So, Alibada Emes, what's the real answer, of course, is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a, cannot be a Makabel, he's perfect. Therefore, everything he does, the underlying motivation of everything that he does, is always Nesina, it's not for him. Im tzadakta matiten lo. You can't give him anything, he's a perfect being. Therefore, everything, the underlying motivation, the only one that we can identify, which is Ma'achid, everything that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does, is Nesina, and therefore in everything that he does. So in terms of the underlying motivation, of course it's all about giving, therefore everything's about, but that doesn't answer the question fully. Still, why not? Why not do why not get involved in being managed the Rishoim? So he says, Alikim Nitzov Ba'adas Kale, that there are two Marochas, there are two structures, if you like. There is where we emulate, imitate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and then there is a Marocha where he gave over to mortals to represent him. In Din, when Dayonim do Din, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Kivyochel is present, Alekim Nitzov Ba'adas Kale, because they're not emulating him, they're not imitating him, they're not following him, they are representing him, they are the agents, the conduit through which the din of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is manifests. They're not imitating him. That we do always through chesed. It is us acting, emulating the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But when it's din that you're doing, din is we're representing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's his din being done through the agency of the Dayanim. And the idea is that din is the logic, if you like, the Seichel Eleki of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the Chazon Ish, in a famous shtickle in Emunah Bitochen, discusses this insofar as Sheichad is concerned. So if you take the Isser of Sheichad, so it's generally understood just to be that it's corrupt, it's not right. Sheichad Ya'aver Einech Achomim V'Salef Divrei Tzadikim. It'll warp, as it indeed it does, warps your ability to be objective and to see the situation as it really is and to come to the right conclusion. But there's got to be more to it than that, says the Chazon Ish. And he poses his famous scenario. What would be, just to be marchiv on it a little bit, what would be, let's say, a Rav is making chasna, and he's got 400 guests. 400 guests are just, they're just streaming in. They're just coming in to the chasna. And the mashgiach, the head mashgiach, comes running out of the kitchen and he says to the Rav, there's a serious shaila on all the chickens. Put them all together, it's not bottled b'shishin. This head mashgiach, he's got 25 years of experience, he knows his stuff. He comes, he says, and it's not just a shaila, it's not a shach or a taz. Anybody knows that. It's hira. You've got to be madama milsa la milsa. You've got to be machria. Can the Rav paskin on that shayla? The Baal Simcha, may he paskin on that shayla? Responses on the back of a postcard. Avada he can. Avada he can. Avada he can. Why not? Why not? Now, does that mean he's got no negias? Avada hot in negias. Of course he's got negias. Ein lechon negias gedoyla mizu. That he may have to turn around to his guests and say, sorry, it's going to be a pizza chasna. I don't know what. Of course he's got negias. He gives agav. There's a beautiful little pisgam where he talks about who a chacham is. He says, as our loshen, if I remember correctly, says somebody is asher ha'emes ohuv lo yosem in akol. Bikush ha'emes is the paramount standard. Does he have negias? Of course he has negias. If he's going to have to tell his guest there's no chasna, of course he has negias. But a chacham, an emes a chacham, is somebody to whom the bikush ha-emes overrides anything and everything else. That is his gold standard, the ultimate standard. Aye, so will it be misalif divrei chachamim? No. So then it's more than that. So then what is sheichat? You're not allowed to take sheichat, says the Chazanish, you're not allowed to take sheichat even after you've paskened. I've paskened already. You're still not allowed to take sheichat. That's not going to affect the psak. The psak's given. You see, therefore, you shmek, says the Chazanish, there's much more to it than that. And the nekuda is that this is, we're not balabatim over the Rabbeinu Shleilam's Torah. This is his din. This is his psak. We represent the Rabbeinu Shleilam. There is hachra, of course. The Gedolim and the Poskim have the right to use the parameters of Torah and Torah Shebal Peh to be machria. But in so doing and in paskening, they are lekim nitzav baraskel. They're representing the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Kivyachol, the Rabbeinu Shleilam gave over to us the ability to give out, as it were, his din. Ba'olam hazeh, as the Maharal says, so that when you get to Olam Haba, you are noki. It is, in other words, it's the primary focus is not on, or not merely on, just that there is equity and fairness in the world. And this is where it is fundamentally different from the mishpat of the Umas Ha'olam. So for the mishpat of the Umas Ha'olam, there they have to make sure. They have to make sure that society is just, that there is no anarchy. Because if nobody does it, if somebody gets away with it, ledatom, they get away with it. And we need to make sure they don't get away with it, so that it is, so that there is equity and fairness in society. Anu lo mehem v'lo mehamoinam. We don't believe in that. The Rabbeinu Shalom is a kol yochel. He settles all the scores eventually. That's not a problem. It's not to ensure that just that there is equity in society. He is giving us an incredible opportunity to use his chokhmah, the chokhmah eliki, which he revealed to us, and allowed us to partner him in that, as Chazal said on the pasuk of last week's parasha, to be a shutuf im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. Kol dayin shedandin emes la'amitai nasa shutuf HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. He allows you to be part of that. The creation of Torah, it was Torah Sashem, uv'soyro soyege yeman v'layla, then it becomes yours, it becomes a chelik of your neshama, if you're zeicha to be megala, that little bit of saying chelkeinu b'soyro secha, it's your Torah, but you allow us to be megala that bit. Yisrael, says the Zeichadosh famously, is yeshishim ribo yosiyes la Torah, that's the makor of our shoyrish, of our chiyus, that's where we come from, and we are able to connect to our shoyrish and reveal, and bring down, as it were, that chelik, that's an incredible zechus. It's a zechus more than anything else. But the focus is totally different. The focus is totally different. Having said that, coming back to the Rashi, since Be'etzem, this is maybe the dion between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbeinu Shalom, there are many pshatim, maybe just one idea. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you see, there's a danger with mishpatim. The danger is, and that's why it's in this pasuk as well, that you can think you can become the balabas of the Torah. Because it's svara, especially mishpatim, as dafka mishpatim, that I'm the balabas. It's all about the svara. It's all about the svara, so this is my svara. And you forget where it comes from and what you're actually doing, that you're elikim nitzav badaskel. So let me just give it to them as it is. There's a danger in the svara. Then you balabata zich over the Torah, and you think kilu, it's yours. So let me just put it to them as it is. And that's why the goyim also, even if they're going to judge exactly the same way, it's the Rabbeinu Shleilam's Torah. Says the Rabbeinu Shleilam, no. Yes, there is that. There is that, potentially that danger. But when Klal Yisrael learn Torah, when we learn Torah as we do, Be'ema, Be'ira, Be'eses, and Be'zeya, we recognize, we say a bracha. We say a bracha. The Mashiach Chochma points out that there's two brachas which are deraisa. Halei Dovahu, Birchas HaMozin and Birchas HaTorah. But Birchas HaTorah is before you learn, and Birchas HaMozin is after you eat. Because there's the pressure point. There's the pinch point. There's the danger. V'rom levovecha v'shachachta. You've eaten, you're satisfied, you can forget. Remember, where it came from. Torah is before you go to Torah. You have to know, what am I, the privilege that I have, that I'm able to engage with, and to be part of, that process of revealing the Chochmah Aleki of the Rabbeinu Shleilam's Chochmah here in this world is an incredible privilege, but never forgetting where it comes from and what it is. That's the Ve'isam Nisagula Mikola Amim. It's that, and that is the Ikar of Birchas HaTorah. It's Paskan Da'aloch. If you're not sure, you know, it's a Sveikah Da'aloch. So if you're not sure whether you said Birchas HaTorah or not, you have to repeat. But the Shagas Arim, the Bura Paskans, which bracha be'ikah, it's Ashabach Arbonu Mikola Amim. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvahs. Because the bracha is, as they say over, the Birchas brings from Chaim, it's a bracha on the Chefts of the Mitzvah, not bracha on the Mitzvah. It's a bracha on the chefts of Torah. Torah requires the fact that we have the ability, the privilege to interact with Torah is that, and in so doing, partner the Rabbeinu Shleilam in creating. And maybe just to be moisif, it's in 2 days' time, it's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Yahrzeit. It's always Pashas Mishpatim, and he was masbir very quickly. He was masbir the ability of a person. Barosi Yitzhahara, Barosi Torah Tavlin. The ability of a person to attack, to counter the negative sides of their inclination is based on Torah. What's the pshat? What's the hezba? He says, if you think about it, be'emes, if a person has a negative midah, has a bad midah, that is their teva. And as Rabbi Rucham explains, if you think about it, we don't endeavor to argue with any other laws of nature. We don't sit and learn a shtick Torah and then put our fingers into a live socket. We don't learn a tosis and then jump off a roof and hope that through Torah we'll counter gravity. But the emes is that a teva of a human being, the bad midas, is actually even more deeply ingrained. It's a deeper teva. Anything physical you encounter is a manifestation of an inner essence. So when you get into a physical law of nature, that's more chitzoni. It's less. Be'etzem, you with me? But my teva, if I'm a karsan, if I am a balgaiva, if I am a baltaiva, that's my teva. How is it shayach, really, if you think about it, to counter my teva? This is my teva. This is what the Rebbeinu Shleilam made me. This is my teva. The emes is, and there's very many rayas that you need a nace. Yaakov Avinu, Ramban says, Yaakov Avinu was saimach on, he was, kibamakli avartis a yardin, no big deal to cross a yardin, anybody can do that with his stick. But he came to his brother Esav, says the Ramban, you needed a nace, can't be saimach on a nace. Doirin, tefillah, milchama, to go against, to counter somebody else's bad medicine, and kavachoma, your own, needs a shinui hateva. How are you going to be mishana the teva? The teretz is, there's only one answer, but etzem it's an impossibility. Said Rabbi Yisrael, but Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Torah. Torah with Istakel Beiraisa Ubara Alma. The Rabbeinu Shleilam, Torah is the greatest agent of creation, that the only agent of creation that exists. The Rabbeinu Shleilam took Torah, whatever that means, Ubara Alma. There was only the Rabbeinu Shleilam, Einoid Mavadi, there was nothing else. There was no time, there was no space, there was nothing. And utilizing Torah, he created, Torah is that which he used, that's the agent, the medium, that's what he used to create. And then what he gave us at Matan Torah, the inner essence, the meaning of what he gave us at Matan Torah, not just didn't give us just the knowledge and the ability to live our lives as we should, Hagam that he gave us that as well, the main chiddush is, he said, you can now connect, you can use that koyach habriya, that koyach habriya, the ability, if you engage with Torah, kidaboy, as it should be learnt properly with the bracha beforehand, be'ema be'yira be'reses of the zayah, the kailos and everything, the ma'amad of Har Sinai is neged einenu. Then, when you interact with Torah, you have the ability to recreate, to reshape yourself, to break down the bits that are negative, get rid of them, and to become a bria chadasha. That's only through Torah. That's really what it's about. It's meant to be a bit of a hagdama, got a bit carried away. But I wanted to take maybe just one or two shilas using dinim. So we've spoken a little bit about the marocha of din, of mishpat. But I wanted to take one or two shilas and see how the poskim tackle them. I take one shaila as follows. Rav Moshe has a shaila. What would be if a teacher, a melamed, was not getting on very well in his school, and there were sechsuchim. They wanted to get rid of him. Now, in employment law, we pass, and generally speaking, in Chayshim Mishpat, Akel Kaminaga and Medina, but they were decided, and they came to an agreement. They came to an agreement between them that he would leave, and they would pay certain costs associated with his moving. They would pay certain costs. They didn't make a kinyan. The shaila was whether the fact that they hadn't made a kinyan, does that make an afkamina? But and then he got a great job. He left. He got a great job, and now he wanted to know. So they turned around to him and said, "Look, you're basically compensated now. You're sitting pretty. You got a new job. You got a good job. You're not out of pocket, and therefore we're not going to pay you." And they came to Rav Moshe to ask him whether they're mechuyev to pay him. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Insurance shailas. There's many different types of insurance. The simple type of insurance is liability insurance, right? Motor insurance. So the insurance company will take on your behalf if you are at fault. So they pay out on your behalf. Right, effectively, they pay out on your behalf if you are liable. So if I'm liable, they paid out on my behalf, and therefore the nizak has had his loss made good, and therefore that's done. All the scores are settled. I had a chiyuv. I was mazik your car without even going into, which is a separate, really a separate shaila. If you injure through your car, was it? Is it mom and amazing? What exactly is it? Is it odd amazing? Mom and amazing? Without going into the details, but the insurance company take on my obligations and they pay, and the score is settled. That's okay. That's liability insurance. What about indemnity insurance? This is already a bit more complicated. So let's say fire, or collision. So the insurance company will indemnify me against a loss. They'll make sure that I don't suffer a loss. Now, that is irrelevant who is at fault. Even if the other fellow is at fault, they will indemnify me against the loss. Right, so we have a crash, you don't mind, yes? We have a crash and it's your fault. So my insurance company pays me immediately. So my loss is made good. They then legally, something called subrogation, they then assume the right to reclaim. They assume it both in common law and in equity. They then assume the right to claim back the money, right? So they've paid out on my behalf. So although they've paid out not on your behalf, they're not your shliach to pay out, I've entered into a contractual arrangement with them whereby if I'm involved in a collision, they will make sure that I don't suffer a loss. Therefore, they then, however, assume my right to pursue you for the damage that you cause. What would be if for some reason, for whatever reason, they choose not to pursue the claim against you? A technical, it doesn't matter why, it's actually irrelevant why. They choose not to pursue the claim against you. Mitzada halocha, can I go now go and get damages from you? Can I now go to you and say, you were mazik me? The insurance company paid me. That's a mischer between me and the insurance company. That's got nothing to do with you. What's that got to do with you? You are mazik me, right? You, assuming that you're mazik me and you are chayev, and that's not in question, I have the right to get the money from you. Is that correct or not? Or do I say perhaps that your chiyuv hezek, and this is how the Chelkes Yoyev brings this as a shaila, it could be that it's all based on the fact that I've suffered a loss, and I don't have a loss, because the insurance company have made good. They've given me the money. I'm not out of pocket. Maybe, your chiyuv to pay me is, maybe there's no chiyuv, because there's no loss. So, this is a shaila. You could also ask a similar shaila in case of a shomer, where the mafkid has insured his property. You could have the similar sort of thing. You could have in medical health insurance a similar sort of thing. And then it's much more negeya, because there is no concept in law of subrogation in medical health, such that you can have two policies if you want. That they don't have a problem with, and that's so it would be the same thing legabadat in law. So these are a couple of the shailas that are discussed. So this obviously, as insurance began to, I don't have the exact dates, so we could look it up, but as insurance began to become more and more popular, so this shaila was asked almost simultaneously to two poskim, to the Horei Besomim and to the Marsham. This is the first record of it. So the Horei Besomim said, he says that, he just said there's been no loss. You haven't lost anything. The case they spoke about was fire. The case they spoke about was fire. I've insured my house for fire. You set my house on fire. And I get my money back from the insurance company, but I want to pursue you for... You burned down my house. So the Horeb Yisrael says there's been no loss, because you've got compensation from the... I have compensation from the insurance company, so I can't pursue you. The Marsham says, no way. The Marsham says... And this Nakuda, he brings a few svaras. The Marsham says, a mazik is chayav at the moment that you've set the match to my house, and my house burns down, at that moment in time you're chayav to me. That chayav is not going to be poka, that chayav is not going to just automatically go away, just because I subsequently get payment from the insurance company. As a mazik, you're chayav at that moment in time, and that chayav remains. Reb Moshe uses a similar svara over here. He says, when there was an agreement with this hagam, that it's not a case of mazik over here. They had an agreement, but here they had an agreement that the teacher would walk, would get a certain amount of money, his costs would be paid. That was agreed to. The minute he walked, they became chayev. The school, his previous employers, became obligated to hagam. It's not a loss, but they became obligated to pay that. The fact that subsequently he then found later gainful employment, which paid him even better, and he didn't, is irrelevant. At that moment in time, you become chayev. Certainly, that's and certainly with nezek, says the Marsham, you become a mazik at that point in time, and the chayev isn't paka. The insurance company, don't forget, says the Marsham, he adds, they're not paying me on your behalf. It's my insurance company. They're not paying me on your behalf. So your chayev still stays. He says, basically what's happened is, I've had the good sense to enter into a mischar, it's like buying a lottery. I have a separate private contractual arrangement with the insurance company, and why should that in any way prevent you from having to make good my loss? He also brings rayas from various gemaras. So there was a machlekas. So this was a big machlekas between the Marsham and the Horeb Yisrael. Whether the chi of mazik is based on the fact whether there's a loss, or is it that you're mazik, that creates a chiyuv? The fact that there is no loss is irrelevant. The fact that there is no loss is irrelevant. So this was a well-known machlekas. So the Chelkas Yoyov wrote a shtickle Torah. He wrote it as a shayla, and he put it in one of the Yarchonim at the time, the Sharei Torah, was called. And he said that these two poskim, these two gedolim, had not fully focused the shayla. They hadn't really, he says that this shayla is the way I've spoken it out to you already. The chakira is the chi of mazik. There's a shayla, and this is something spoken about normally, you hear shir on it at the beginning of Bava Kamma. The stipler about it there, there's a Rabbeinu Yoin, is it Nissa Gzela, is it Nissa, what's the Issa mazik? What is the Issa Mazik? Is it Gezel? Is it Hashav Saveda? Various different shaylos. But either way, the Chiyuv to pay, is that on the basis of the fact that there is a Hefzer, that there is a loss? Or is it the Maisa HaNezek is Mechayev, whether or not subsequently there is a loss? He brings a number of rayas, the Chelkas Yoyev brings a number of rayas to show that it is the Maisa HaMazik, which is Mechayev you, even if later there is no loss. Gemar Bava Kamma, Chavavam Abbas, famous Gemara, when somebody throws a keli off a roof and it's about to smash, it's just about to hit the ground, and you smash it in the middle of the air, are you mechuyev or not? So the sugya there, lemaisa, is not negated to what we're discussing. There's a whole different sugya, but there's nobody brings a raya from the fact that the Gemara doesn't turn around and say, what are you talking about? There's no shayla, there's no loss. There's no loss. In half a second, there's going to be nothing here. Now, here is Raya. He's bringing a Raya from the fact that the Gemara discusses whether there's a Chiyuv, but it doesn't, but it looks at it from various other angles. But nobody says, there's no suggestion in the Gemara that it should be, you should be potter because there was no loss. The only thing that occurred to me, I haven't seen anybody asking it, but asking on the, to ask on the Chelkas Yoyov, that possibly you could ask, if you take the opinion that it's the Maisa HaMazik, like the Marsham says, that it's the Maisa, because at that moment in time, there was a there was a loss, or sorry, that moment in time you were mazik him, then also the fact that unless you start coming on to the idea that something kala oimed, something that is going to be broken, if you'd hold that it's already broken, unless you come on to that, then what's the difference whether it's going to be broken in a second or not automatically? If at the moment it is there, as long as you don't say kol ha'omed, we have kol ha'omed listra, but if you wouldn't say that by nezikin, then it should be the same thing. But he doesn't say that. He says that the fact that the Gemara ignores that altogether shows you that it has nothing to do with loss. He brings various other rayas as well. He therefore suggests, and he paskins, that it has nothing to do with loss. You damage something, you're mechuyev. The fact that the owner doesn't suffer a loss is irrelevant. So he really sides with the Marsham. Being almost out of time, I will go halacha lemaisa. I think we end up with a machlokas between Dayan Weiss and Rav Moshe Stenbuch. Dayan Weiss seems to paskin. We'll do it the other way around. Tell you what Rav Moshe Stenbuch says as follows. He has a shaila again. Shaila of a... I'm not sure whether it was... Yeah, it was car damage. It was car collision. He said the case came as follows. Somebody damaged somebody else's car. So the mazik said... So he paskins that the mazik has to pay immediately. Your chiyuv is immediate. If the insurance company then follow you up, he says you don't have to pay twice. Obviously you don't have to pay twice. You're not going to have to pay twice. That's zichanot. He said, but you have to pay immediately. If they don't know who was the mazik, so he passes as I. If the insurance company don't know who did the damage, without going into the shailas of whether you're mechuyev to tell them, maybe nafkamina, it's a Jewish company or not, but if they don't know who did the damage, so he gets his loss made good. It was indemnity insurance, he's got a comprehensive insurance, he gets so that the nizik has not suffered any loss. Are you still mechuyev to pay? You are mechuyev to pay. You're mechuyev to pay? You are a mazik, and you're mechuyev to pay. The only thing is, and you have to pay immediately. I can go, if you damage my car, and I know who you are, obviously, I can go to you and I can say, pay me up immediately. The fact that I have insurance, it's none of your business, you are mazik me, you pay me. You, however, can force me, if that's the right word, to make a tnai to say, but if the insurance company then sue me, you in this case, and make you pay, then you'd have to give me back the money. You shouldn't end up paying twice. But this is how Dayan Weiss paskins the opposite. So therefore, could you say, being that it's a momonous, you are muhzak, possibly you could say kimli. You could say kimli, you're familiar with the concept of kimli. When there's a machlokas, you can say, in Chayshin Mishpah, you can say, I paskin like Dayan Weiss. I'll come to you and say, I paskin like Rav Moshe Stenbuch, and he says that you have to pay me and pay me immediately. Bitnai, that if they then the insurance company come to you, I'll give you back the money, so you'll only end up paying once. But you could say, Kimli kamin chasitzchok. I paskin like Dayan Weiss, and Dayan Weiss says that I don't have to pay, provided that once the insurance company have paid me, so therefore there is no loss. Like the Horeb Isamim, not like the Marsham, not like the Chelkas Yev, there's no loss, and therefore you wouldn't have to pay. There's much more to it, but that's just maybe the beginning of a topic. Say that.